Yeah? Well, around here, we call that Wednesday.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Santa Monica.
Do you have anything significant to add here?
Hey, I'm working out some material, man. What's eating you?
What did you just say?
What's eating you?
Say that again.
What's eating you?
One more time, please.
What's eating you?
Like Ronald Reagan.
Will, what's eating you?
Like a question on Jeopardy.
What is, what's eating you?
In a racist Chinese accent.
Oh, what's eating you?
Like a sexy young schoolgirl.
What's eating you?
One more time, regular.
What's eating you?
What's up with him?
And now, you get morning wood this early? That is incredible. You're like a superhero.
Our feature presentation.
Well, thank you for noticing, and welcome into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean Show, this time for a Wednesday, the 30th of April. Mugs, why can't you just drive to work like the rest of us?
I try to drive to work.
Yesterday, all right, here's the deal. This is Bean speaking. And I'm at home. I'm in the studio at my house in Seattle. And every morning I'm waiting for Beer Mug to connect up so that we can do a radio show. And usually Beer Mug connects up a little after 5 o'clock, but then sometimes it gets to be even later. And I go, well, I wonder if the boy just slept in again. Yesterday I get an email from you from the road that you've been involved in an accident.
Yep.
Which I'm sure you're claiming is not your fault.
It wasn't my fault.
Sure. No, of course not. This morning, no mugs. Time goes by, 5:05, 5:10, 5:15, no mugs. Mugs rolls in and goes, oh, yeah, ticket this morning.
Yep.
So accident yesterday, ticket this morning. Now, was the ticket your fault?
Well, I was going with the flow of traffic, okay? And the guy, the CHP officer, said that I was the only one going faster than everybody. And
which is kind of the opposite of the flow of traffic.
Look, it looked like I was going with the flow. I'm pretty sure I was. And he wrote on my ticket approximately going 80 to 85. Now, approximately.
So he didn't have radar on
you? No, he didn't have radar on
me. He was eyeballing you.
Yep. So I think I'm going to fight it. I think I'm going to go to court and fight it.
How fast do you estimate the rest of traffic was going that you were going the flow with?
I would say 75 around there.
Okay. Then how is 80 or 85 going with the flow of traffic if you're going faster than everybody else? That's a way to call attention to yourself.
Because the CHP officer is lying? Or just wants to fill quotas? I don't know.
You don't think you're going 80 to 85?
I don't think I was. I really don't.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm. I don't know about that approximately. I mean, I guess they are allowed to just observe you going super fast. They don't have to have you on radar. But what's your defense going to be? Nuh-uh.
My defense?
Because you can't prove how fast you were or weren't going either.
I know, but hopefully he won't show up to court, number one. Because if your officer doesn't show up to court, you automatically win. They throw it out.
Right.
But if he does show up, I'm legitimately going to try to say, well, I was going with the flow, and I was picked out randomly, I guess, and he approximated my speed. There's no exact readout of my speed.
And you don't think there's any reason why he picked you versus any other car on the road that, in your opinion, was going the same speed that you were?
I don't know. I don't know.
Did he see the big black cloud that travels over your head?
How dare you? First of all,
I'm just wondering, did he see the sadness?
He probably saw the sadness, but there's no black cloud. Let's be real here.
Well, just based on the last 2 days, it seems like you're not having the smoothest commute. I'm just saying.
No.
What do you got planned for tomorrow?
I don't know. I might take a cab or Uber or something. I don't know.
I think you should walk on the highway tomorrow. I think maybe that should be the answer. You should walk to work on the freeway.
Maybe.
Couldn't get any worse. So when do you go to court?
It says I have to fight it by the end of or the beginning of August. So
okay.
So I have to go set a court date in L.A.
And what's your ticket situation like? What's your points on the license situation?
Now, before yesterday, everything was great. I had good driver, no ticket. So now, you know, with yesterday's accident and today's ticket, my insurance is just going to skyrocket.
Yeah, you're spiraling, dude.
It sucks.
It couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
How dare you?
Well, listen, I'm sure we have people listening who have experience with this non-radar ticket, with this eyeballing kind of ticket. Where do you want people to email you if they've got some advice for you?
Beermug@krock.com.
Okay, maybe they can help you out because, yeah. I mean, I don't know anything about tickets like that. It seems like they're unusual. It seems like you don't get a lot of speeding tickets that are not radar. You get reckless driving tickets that are not radar.
Yeah.
But you don't get speeding tickets unless they've got something, you know, that they can point to and go, it's not just my word, it's the machine. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
So you might get out of it.
Hopefully.
So let's see what happens. All right. Email Mugs if you can help. Let's take a look at today's all-new Kevin and Bean show now.
You're kidding me, right?
I'm actually not. The man, the myth, the talk show legend, Maury Povich, 75-year-old Maury Povich, joins us on the Kevin and Bean show today. Still doing paternity tests on daytime TV. Can't wait to talk to Mr. Povich. That's coming up in about 20 minutes or so right here on K-Rock. Also, Kings of Leon tickets. Today it's Wednesday. That means in the third row, the Roastmaster General himself, our friend Jeffrey Ross, makes his return appearance on the Kevin and Bean Show. Got a brand new Bean's Death Corner for you today. Also, a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. And Ralph has all the showbiz beat, including one coming up next right here on K-Rock. Maury Povich joins us right after the top of the hour here on this Wednesday morning edition of the Kevin and Bean Show. Maybe we get Beer Mug on there to face his police accuser, maybe on stage.
You were not going with the flow of traffic.
Exactly. That's how that would work out.
That would be awesome.
That is it. Coming up right now, Ralph Garman joins us. Time for our first look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Just picked me out. Quotas.
Not my fault.
That's why I was driving perfectly.
Was.
How horrible to go through a life just oblivious, just completely lacking any self-awareness.
Look, if I know it's one thing, it's I'm not guilty.
That may be the one thing you know.
85 was with the flow of traffic because everyone
That's
else was
right.
going 70 to 75.
Just picked me out randomly. Maybe he won't show. That's my defense. Good luck.
You should have gone to law school, Bugs.
You should have. You could have disappointed your parents in a whole brand new way. All right, let's get to the showbiz beat. But before I do want to give you a heads up. A lot of people have been asking about Hollywood Babylon, the show I do with Kevin Smith at the Improv on Melrose. They've been saying, can you do it a little bit earlier? 10 o'clock, it's kind of late for me.
Really?
Yeah.
You get that question?
We do. We get requests that to do an earlier show or when are we going to do an earlier show?
You're not drunk enough by 8.
I know. Well, I can get drunk enough by 8 for sure.
Okay.
And that's what I'm going to try to do this Friday. We're doing a special 8 o'clock show on Friday for you people who like to go to bed early. The 8 o'clock show on Melrose at the Improv in Los Angeles. Love to have you come out and see Kevin and I do our Hollywood Babylon show. So if you'd like to go, you can go to improv.com. Click on Hollywood, the Hollywood Club, and then the tickets are there for you. You can go to Babylon Ralph or C-Smod. There's a lot of places you can go to get tickets, but it's 8 o'clock this Friday. We'd love to have you come out and join us. And we'll be talking about stuff like, well, George Clooney getting married. He still won't admit he's headed to the altar. Maybe he's just dragging his feet, maybe hoping things will change before it actually happens. But his dad is already speaking out about it. Nick Clooney, who I like a lot. He seems like a really good dude, that Nick Clooney.
Yeah, he's one of those AMC hosts, right?
Yeah, but before that, he was a longtime television newscaster in Ohio and other, I guess, Cleveland, maybe his big... can't remember what big city he was in for a long time. But, yeah, he's been a television personality for a long time. He is telling Us Weekly magazine that Amal Alamuddin is a wonderful young woman and that the family is thrilled about their decision to get married. So if dad's saying it, it's got to be
legit,
right? Yeah. I wonder how Elizabeth the Canalis and Stacey Keebler and Talia Balsam and all the other many women feel about this.
They
got to say, why not me? What was wrong with me, right?
Because we did get the impression, at least, you know, just from the tabloids, that some of those relationships broke up because they wanted to get married after they'd been together for a while. And George would not get married.
And if he's just one of those guys who's never going to get married, you don't have to blame yourself and say, well, that's just, I had no shot ever. But now she's changing everything. Speaking of marriages, another rumor yesterday that Kim Kardashian and Kanye West were going to be getting married before the end of the week. That they might do a private wedding before they do their giant showbiz circus wedding for the cameras. TMZ claims that they already have a marriage license and therefore don't have to go to a courthouse to tie the knot. They could do it privately at home and then do the big budget publicity camera show later on this year. So
When it means nothing.
When it means nothing, yeah. Apparently, there's trouble in that relationship because Kris Jenner has taken it upon herself to negotiate the prenup for her daughter.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And Kanye is resenting her interference and her participation in that negotiation, which it makes me happy. And I think we all need to recognize when we're just fed up with these people that at the end of the day, they still have to be themselves and they still have to deal with each other. And that makes it all, that evens it all out, I think. Because it just, they must be just hell to be them. They just miss, I don't think they're happy people. I think they're just miserable all the time.
Yeah.
And that makes me happy.
So in other words, you get satisfaction out of knowing that whatever advantages Kim Kardashian has in life, she still has Kris Jenner for a stepmother.
Right. And Kanye West still pulling her strings and trying to work, you know, his magic on her to make her be a fashion icon. And everything. They just must be just constant state of tension in their lives. And that makes
I hope so. Hope there's misery there.
I hope so, too. And officially it was announced yesterday, the cast for the next Star Wars film.
Yay!
Has been revealed. Disney and Lucasfilm released a picture of the cast doing what they call a table read, where everyone just sits down and they open up the script and they just read through it. And there they all were. John Boyega, Daisy Ridley, Adam Driver, Oscar Isaac, Andy Serkis, Domhnall Gleeson, Max von Sydow, Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, Mark Hamill, Anthony Daniels, Peter Mayhew, and Kenny Baker as R2-D2. All in one room.
And now all the speculation is all over the internet as to who's playing who.
Yeah. They say that Adam Driver, you may know him from Girls, he will play the bad guy, the main Darth Vader-like villain.
Wow, he's pretty young to be the villain in a Star Wars movie.
Oscar Isaac, who starred in the Coen Brothers film Inside Llewyn Davis. He will have the swaggy Han Solo type role.
All right.
And John Boyega, probably best known for playing Moses in the sci-fi film Attack the Block. He will be a Jedi. So those are the rumors. No no word yet on what character Daisy Ridley will play, but who cares? She's hot. That's
all we know. Now, this is set, and I know we've got how long until the Star Wars movie comes out?
Let me see. The release date for that is December the 18th, 2015.
Oh, that'll be here before you know it. That's only a year and a half away.
Yes.
So this is set 30 years after Return of the Jedi, right?
After Jedi, right.
And all of the other characters that we've been seeing over the course of the last three movies, the Sam Jacksons and the Liam Neesons and all those guys, those were all in prequels, so none of those exist anymore, right?
Well, I'm guessing they don't. I suppose any of them could come back. I don't know.
Just hard for me to keep the timeline straight.
What the average age of a Jedi is. I don't know how long they live. Yoda lived a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, he was small and green. So who knows, but yeah.
George Lucas raped our childhood. George Lucas raped our childhood. George Lucas raped our childhood.
George Lucas did rape our childhood, but J.J. Abrams may bring it back. So.
That's right.
Wait and see. Today's celebrity birthdays. Diana Agron is 28 years old today. You know her, of course, from Glee. Gal Gadot. Wonder Woman in the upcoming Batman vs. Superman. She is 29 years old.
She's a good deal.
Yeah, she's beautiful. Kirsten Dunst is 32 years old. Johnny Galecki is 39, and his co-star from Big Bang Theory, Kunal Nayar, is 33 years old today. Jeff Timmons of 98 Degrees is 41. Chris Henderson of Three Doors Down is 43. Clark Vogler of the Toadies is 45. J.R. Richards of Dishwalla is 47. Hey,
what's happening,
Dave,
right
King
now?
Of Mexico? Can we have a conversation about this celebrity birthday list? What? What?
Those are amazing birthdays.
Why are Dishwalla, the Toadies, and Three Doors Down on the list?
Sounds like the worst Woodstock ever.
People love the 90s, man. Summerland Tour rules.
All right. Okay. What's going on in that
room? We're doing a Dishwalla birthday.
Adrian Pasdar, a very talented actor, is 49. Currently can be seen on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And Willie Nelson, the legendary singer, songwriter, pot smoker. He's 81 years old today.
He just got a black belt in some Korean karate, by the way.
It was his fourth degree black belt, yes. Did you turn your mic off before you said wow? You're a fail on every level. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Let's talk about the great Maury Povich. His show, Going Strong, 22nd season on Channel 5 on the CW, Monday through Friday at 4. Here's why people love the Maury.
We asked you if you ever cheated on Brandon the last 2 years of your relationship. You said no. The lie detector determined that was a lie more than 10 women. You were asked if you cheated on Brandy with both of her friends while she was at the hospital. You said no. The lie detector determined that was a lie, a threesome with those two girls more than one time. We asked you if the small pair of women's panties Brandy found belonged to a girl you cheated on Brandy with. You said no. The lie detector determined that was a lie.
You can get your dad and get out of my house. Go to your daddy.
Mr. Povich, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Dean.
Sir.
You can't make that up.
I know you can't.
And by the way, that's not canned applause.
No. Your audience is definitely legitimately, sincerely into the show. That's for sure. So, Maury, how did it come to this? What's going on?
Well, now, wait a second, first of all. How long have you all been together?
Well, the Kevin and Bean show has been on the air for almost 25 years, Maury.
Correct, and so have I.
Yeah.
So we're in lockstep.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying, which is you just show up for work one day, and the next thing you know, it's a week, and then a month, and then a year, and then a lifetime has gone by. But here's the difference. You're Maury Povich. You could walk away and spend the rest of your days golfing. You're 75 years old. You're still out there being the ringmaster of this circus. Why?
Well, I'll tell you. I mean, they keep renewing the show, and I keep telling them, look, I'm supposed to be in assisted living by now, and I like doing the show.
Tell me why. Tell me what you get. There's no story you haven't seen, Maury.
I've boiled it down. Each of those stories to me is a new experience. I mean, everybody says that skeptics come and say, you know, they're actors. I said, there are no actors. This is part of the American fabric. These people exist. They're trying to unburden themselves. They want to come on our show, and whether it's a lie detector test or a paternity test or out-of-control teenagers, this is going on in their lives, and they think somehow they can untangle it on my show.
I do feel like the Maury Povich show is keeping the lie detector business going. I mean, I feel like you're probably using more lie detectors than all the police agencies in America combined.
And how about those DNA agencies?
Yes, that's right.
Because that costs a lot of money.
Yeah, those DNA tests do.
It's about $1,000 a test, apparently.
And by the way, I've always wanted to ask you this, Maury. Is that why so many people agree to the DNA test on your show? Is just because it's free?
Well, it might be, but I'll tell you this. I think they come on because these women have been accusing these guys of being the father for years, and they want some closure. And on the other hand, we have a lot of guys who come on the show who, because their spouse or significant other made a mistake right at the time they became pregnant, they have had some doubts all the time whether they're the father.
Right,
so,
of course.
I mean, that's the drama of the show.
You've seen some real pain in some of your guests over years. Does that ever get tough for you to shower off?
I mean, when we have a woman who's come on multiple times, I mean, 5 times, 10 times, accusing various guys of being the father of their child, you wonder, you know, and the audience can take it two ways. I mean, what kind of life have you been living? Because if you get pregnant within a 48-hour period, that's when you can get pregnant every month. And all of a sudden, there are 10 guys who've come on the show. What kind of life are you living? And at the same time, you have to say, you know, this woman's courageous or brave enough to come on to find a father for her child. So, you know, you can look at it both ways.
What kind of help do you give any of your people who are just wrecked at the end of the show?
We have help with the staff. I mean, we have people who have staffed up on our show to be able to help these people once they get there. And then once they go home, we have networked with people to help them, counsel them when they go home if they want it. And what we find is, look, when it comes to the paternity shows, I'm not saying that every father who now knows that he's the father of this child gets into this child's life, but I can tell you this, a significant number, I'm not saying it's a majority, but a significant number of men get into the lives of these kids And we all know that if there are two parents around, the kid has a better chance.
Absolutely. No, that's very worthwhile. I love that one of the things you do in this, the great Maury Povich on the show with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now, talking about his show Maury that airs Monday through Fridays at 4 on Channel 5. I love that you go back and pick up the thread on some of the guests that we've met over the years. I wondered whatever happened to, if you can even remember this one because you've had similar stories the best, whatever happened to that 15-year-old girl who came on who was trying to get pregnant and she had sex with something like 20 different men at that point, hundreds of times, unprotected sex, trying to get pregnant. Whatever happened to her?
Well, I don't know the specific case, but I can tell you that of all those cases of the various 15-year-olds we've had on the show, some have come back 2 and 3 years later. They've turned their lives around. They're back in school. They want to go to college. Others have come back and have become mothers, but turned out to be pretty good mothers. And so there are some good story.
You never know. You never know how it's going to play out.
You never know. Never
do
know.
Are you encouraged by what's going on in the American public today, or are you depressed and discouraged at the end of filming a week's worth of show?
When it comes to that issue that you just talked about in terms of teenage pregnancy, the numbers were going up, and now they've leveled off and started to go down. So I think that that can be applauded. But when it comes to, you know, people cheating on each other, I don't see any lack of stories on our show. No. I mean, people are still lining up. And when it comes to paternity testing, I'm hopeful that people are more serious about who they sleep with, when they sleep with. I mean, what bothers me more than anything else is when these guys come on and they end up being the fathers and they're 24, 25 years old, and this is their fifth or sixth child.
Ouch.
That drives me nuts.
Ouch.
And so we just try to, you know, tell them to put a cap on it.
Yeah, you got to hold them down and sterilize them right on the stage, Maury. I mean, you can't let them walk back out there to impregnate somebody else. You got a responsibility, dude. Have you? What's the worst fight you ever had on your stage?
Well, you know, we don't. First of all, I don't show fights, and I've got a lot of big guys around me, and so that doesn't happen. But
I know you don't show them, but the camera fades out right as the one person's reaching the other person.
I know. But I can tell you that the one of the funniest things was when a guy was not he didn't want to be the father, and I read the result, and he was not the father. He did 2 perfect backflips right on the stage.
Wow, I mean, that's impressive.
You would have got a 10 in the Olympics.
That's impressive. Wow. Well, it sounds like you're still enjoying the hell out of it, Maury. How long do you want to go? I know that's a tough question to answer.
I don't know. I mean, believe it or not, I used to go year to year, and then NBC, who owns my show, they ended up. I'm renewed to at least 2016. My Lord. Oh my God.
Unbelievable.
Gosh.
Unbelievable.
I'm not leaving until you and Kevin split up.
All right. It looks like it's a race to the finish line then. Well, congratulations on being one of the forefathers of daytime TV. And I know you've had a long and distinguished career in and out of news. And it's a real honor to have you on the program.
Thanks so much.
Best of luck to you, my friend.
It.
Thank you. Very excited to introduce a new game that we like to call Donald or Donald.
Is it Donald or Donald who said that thing?
Oh, yeah, baby.
Is it Donald or Donald who said that thing?
Oh, let me know, baby.
I'm guessing Donald. I guess Donald.
Oh, well, I'm an expert at Donald Duck, too, so this is going to be good.
Let me be more specific to our contestants, Ralph Garman and David King of Mexico in studio with us here. Donald Sterling, you may have heard, has been in the news, the owner of the Los Angeles Clippers, for saying some very bad things on tape. Donald Trump has come to his defense. Both have had some bad experience with gypping minorities. They both have been involved in lawsuits and discrimination suits and renting suits and everything else. They actually have a lot in common beyond just their first name. So I'm going to give you a quote, and you guys are going to guess whether it's Donald Trump or Donald Sterling. Now, if it's Donald Sterling, you'll hear this.
Don't come to my games. Don't bring black people and don't come.
And if it's Donald Trump, you'll hear this.
You're fired.
Okay. All right. So everybody understand the game?
Yes.
Yep.
Donald.
Donald or Donald.
Donald.
Question number one. I have a great relationship with the blacks. I've always had a great relationship with the blacks.
Hmm. I would say that sounds to me Donald Trump.
All right.
I will have to agree.
Yes.
You're fired.
Yay.
Woo.
One. Roll tied up. Who's keeping,
all
who's keeping
everybody,
score? Keeping score
we don't have Lisa here today, so everybody try to keep score. You got it, Muggs?
Muggs has got it. Good luck to all of us. Muggs
question number two. Black guys counting my money. I hate it. The only kind of people I want counting my money are little short guys that wear yarmulkes every day.
Oh, first of all, yarmulke. Come on.
How do you pronounce
could
it?
Could you be any more goy?
Bean's not Jewish.
Bean is not Jewish.
Yarmulke. Is the pronunciation.
Oh, that's what I thought it was, but it looks like it's spelled
yarmulke.
Oh, man.
Black guys counting my money. I hate it. The only kind of people I want counting my money are little short guys that wear yarmulkes every day.
In the parlance of the sport, this is a slam dunk. That would be Donald Sterling.
I think it's going to be Trump.
You're fired.
Dave's ahead. Dave takes the lead.
All right. Donald or Donald, question three. I don't like Mexican men because they smoke, drink, and just hang around the house.
Well, we all heard this on the tape.
Yeah,
that's Sterling.
Yeah.
Don't come to my games. Don't bring black people and don't come.
Yeah.
I don't smoke, by the way.
No, but he does hang around the house.
I do. And number four. I don't have to spend any more money on them. They will take whatever conditions I give them and still pay the rent.
Ooh. Boy, they're both slumlords.
Both are slumlords, yeah. I don't have to spend any more money on them. They will take whatever conditions I give them and still pay the rent.
Sterling.
Yeah, I'm gonna think. I think that's Sterling, probably from an old quote.
Yes. Don't come to my games. Don't bring black people and don't come.
That was in sworn testimony, by the way, during his trial when he was sued for not renting to Koreans.
He's a good guy.
All right, what's the score, Muggs?
It is Dave 4, Ralph 3.
Damn.
Yeah. Okay. You know, it doesn't really matter what the media write as long as you've got a young and beautiful piece of ass. You know, it doesn't really matter what the media write as long as you've got a young and beautiful piece of ass. Boy, these two are peas in a pod, aren't they?
Oh, my God.
It could be so either of them. I want to go with Trump.
I'm going to agree with Ralph and say Trump.
You're both correct.
You're fired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we've got time for
a I'm a little disturbed that I know my races.
Yeah. When you pay a woman for sex, you are not together with her. You're paying her for a few moments to use her body for sex. Is it clear? Is it clear?
Yes, I think it's clear. You go first, Dave. You're in the lead.
All
I have
right.
to catch up.
All right.
Yeah, I think he's been piggybacking on your answers, by the way.
No doubt.
I'm going to say that's Trump.
For the sake of the win, I'm going to go with Sterling.
Don't come to my games. Don't bring black people and don't come.
All tied up.
That was also sworn testimony, by the way, from back in 2003. That's a quote. All right, so it's tied up. So first person to win, first person to get one, is wins the game, okay? Donald or Donald? Next question. It was purely sex for money. Money for sex. Sex for money. Money for sex. Oh, man, that's almost identical to the last one. But I'll go with Sterling.
I'm going to say Trump.
Don't come to my games. Don't bring black people and don't come.
Dave for the win. Thanks for playing Donald or Donald.
Yay!
Is it Donald or Donald who said that thing?
Oh, yeah, baby.
Coldplay is back. They've got a brand new album coming out on May the 16th. Starting to do a little bit of press for that, a little bit of promotion. They released another new song from the album yesterday. I think we're going to play a little piece of this. Now, I've not heard this yet. I understand it is very Avicii-inspired, very EDM. This is new Coldplay, a little piece of a song called A Sky Full of Stars. Check it out.
'Cause you're a sky, 'cause you're a sky full of stars. I want to die in your arms. Get lighter the more it gets dark.
I like it. Sounds good. Ralph, you like Coldplay?
Love Coldplay.
Do you like him enough to fly all over the world going to libraries to try to get a ticket to see him in concert?
And I love this awesome promotional event they're doing that is fun and you are bad.
It's nonsense. And it's
not
a colossal
awesome.
Waste of time.
It's Willy Wonka come to life, the golden ticket hidden in books. Awesome.
What are they doing? What's going on?
They had an event that was going on all week long where they took handwritten lyrics by Chris and they stuck them in books that featured ghost stories, because that's the name of the album, all over the world, in libraries all over the world. And then they would tweet hints about it. And one of the nine envelopes that was hidden in these libraries had a golden ticket inside of it where you got to see the band live in London's Royal Albert Hall.
Okay. Since Kevin is not here today, may I play his part?
Sure.
That's stupid and dumb and absurd.
It's not. It's so much fun.
Why is it fun to have to fly to freaking Mexico City to look through books to find a piece of paper? Why can't you just buy a ticket to a show?
Here's the beginning of your damage. Is that no one expected to fly all over the globe to look for these. If you happen to be in the country where one of the envelopes is hidden, then you can play. But instead of just making it a UK thing or a US thing, they were able to put it in different countries all over the world for all their fans.
Why is this better than just being able to buy a ticket?
Because it's fun!
What's fun about it?
You get to figure out the clues and show up and find the envelopes. It's like a treasure hunt. Didn't you ever have to go on a treasure hunt in your life?
No.
You've never done a treasure hunt?
I've never done a treasure hunt. Is that a thing you do with friends?
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Because I might explain it. What kind of clues are they?
All right, I'll give you one. This is one that was tweeted. Clue 5. In the country's garden at a spooky library through the tunnel, where Keefe's overdue, look for me, Kathy. Oh, come home.
Forget it. English. Give it to me in English.
I just did.
What the hell was that? That was nonsense.
Why are you
that
so
nonsense.
Horrible?
I'm not horrible. It's a colossal waste. Oh, it's not enough that you're already buying our records and buying our concert tickets. Now we're going to make you work for it.
But the clue itself, look for me, Kathy, oh, come home. Obviously, that's a reference to Wuthering Heights because that's the lyric from Kate Bush's Wuthering Heights. It's me, Kathy, I've come home. Right? Yeah. So you know the book, and the spooky library was the haunted Dartford Library in Kent in the UK.
And how do you find that? How do you know what the library is?
Because it's a famously reputedly haunted library in Kent, the Dartford.
Too much work. Too much work!
And you go there, you go to that library, you get a copy of Wuthering Heights, you flip it open, boom! There's the envelope with the handwritten Chris Martin lyrics inside.
Can you think of a billion things you'd rather be doing than opening books in a library to find a note?
Sweet
seriously.
God, it's fun!
If one of these clues suggested that the library was in Southern California, would you drive down there and look for that book?
Of course!
For reals.
Yes.
As busy as you claim to be.
Have you no sense?
As busy as you claim to be, you would take time out of your day to drive on a scavenger hunt from Coldplay.
It's solving a mystery. That's fun.
I don't get it at all. I mean, I'm glad you and all the other girls that like Coldplay are into this. I appreciate Jesus. That. But I don't understand why make your fans jump through hoops?
It's worth it if you're a hardcore Coldplay fan to get a flight to London to see Coldplay perform at the Royal Albert Hall.
Well, you know what else is a way you can get tickets to see the Royal Albert Hall to see Coldplay? Buy a ticket.
Well, I'm sorry, real estate mogul. Maybe some of us don't have the money to fly to London and buy expensive tickets to the Royal Albert Hall. Maybe we can't just sell off one of our many mansions and buy
some
tickets.
That show is not for us. That show is for people who were in London on July 1st. Let them buy tickets to
go to the
show.
But if you win the golden ticket, then it is for you.
I don't like it. Right now, though, we want to hand out some tickets for Kings of Leon. They are coming to Southern California in October. You can win tickets in row number 3 right now at 1-800-520-1067. If you can get through in a game we call Famous Kings.
King, King. All you got to do is name a famous King. Gonna be one of the greatest King. Be sure your answer is the best King. Putting your King knowledge to the test, King. The Kings of Leon are fresh and damn King. Now it's time to name that famous King.
Stop it.
King,
I wasn't aware that Kings of Leon were fresh to death, but now I know.
Stop it.
Contestants are lined up. Ralph, what are we going to be doing here?
We, as the lengthy intro may have described you already, we will be giving you clues for famous kings. All of these answers will have king in them. We'll give you the description. You simply have to identify the famous Kang.
All right. So if you're right, you go into the drawing to win your Kings of Leon tickets. Muggs, you're going to keep track of who might win this thing?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's start with line one. This is going to be Dennis. He's up first. Hi, Dennis. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ready to play Famous Kings?
Yes, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning, Dennis. Here is your question. This television and radio host, actor, voice artist, and comedian hosted a nightly interview television program on CNN from 1985 to 2010.
Will Glenda be there?
Glenda will be there, I think.
That should make Larry King very
happy. Larry King, very well done, sir.
Will Glenda be there?
Absolutely. You are in the drawing, sir. Excellent answer. Let's go to Lonnie. She's up next. She's on line two.
Lonnie? Lonnie,
hello,
you there?
Lonnie. Going once.
Lonnie.
Going twice.
Lonnie.
Jamie joins us. Jamie's up next. She's a bartender, Ralph. One of your people. She's on line three.
Jamie.
Good morning, guys.
Jamie, where do you attend bar? Can you say?
It's California Pizza Kitchen.
Oh, yeah. I used to be a bartender at California Pizza Kitchen back in the day.
How about that?
Yeah, crazy. here's your question, Jamie. This clergyman and civil rights leader was assassinated on April 4, 1968.
Really?
Yeah, pretty famous clergyman and civil rights leader. African-American leader was assassinated.
Come on, Donald Sterling. You know this
one. April 4, shots were fired in 1968.
Jamie, did you really say, really?
Nothing's coming to mind.
Martin Luther King.
Yeah, there you go. Martin Luther
thank
King
God.
Jr.
I was about to weep for America. Thank God you got that, Jamie.
Really?
All right.
A civil rights leader? That's the question I get.
Really?
About
why is it so
blacks?
Hard?
Really?
I tried to
blacks?
Win Coldplay tickets at a library. All right. Marissa's up next. She's on line four.
Marissa?
Hi.
Hi there. Here's your question. This author of contemporary horror, suspense, and fantasy books has sold more than 350 million copies.
Stephen King.
Stephen King. Yeah. Well done.
All right. Now we're rolling. Here's Mike up next. He's on line five. He blows glass. Wonder how glass feels about it.
Hey. Hey, Mike.
How's it going?
Good, thanks. You don't make bongs by any chance, do you, Mike?
I can,
but I
don't.
I thought you might.
All right, Ralph, need your number off the air, please.
This movie about a gigantic island-dwelling ape was first made in 1933.
King Kong.
King Kong, indeed. Well done.
Outstanding. All right, so Mike goes in the drawing along with Marissa, Jamie, and Dennis. Let's see what Evan's got for us. He's on line six. Or excuse me, she's on line six. A lady named Evan.
Yeah, it's hot.
Hello.
Yeah, female Evan.
Hi, Evan. How you doing? What are you wearing? I mean, never mind. Here's the game.
Here's your question, Evan. This legendary boxing promoter has promoted some of the most prominent names in boxing, including Muhammad Ali, George Foreman, and Mike Tyson.
Oh.
Legendary boxing promoter. Only in America.
I have no idea. No.
Does the name Don King ring a bell at all? Don King?
Oh, yeah.
All right, sorry.
I want nothing, no one to lose sight of the fact that whites always get paid more than blacks.
Okay.
Now, when you find a black that makes more money, take note of that. Don't use it as running the mill because it is not a regular thing. If you bring it to the table, if you're the hunter, and you go out and you kill the lamb, you kill the sheep, you go out and you kill the goose, and you bring it to the table, you're not supposed to get paid.
Goose?
You know what I mean? So don't tell me, don't try to quantify me.
Okay.
I'm an American, and no one can be proud if you can't hear me. I said a little louder. I do the American dream. I get what I deserve. I probably deserve more. And what is being done is misled. You know what I mean? They always agitate. Duplicate. How long? Not long.
Oh, no.
You have to be able to stay together. Unity, solidarity, and togetherness. Fall prey to the divisiveness. I love this nation. I love the American people.
But if there's a mountain of black and white, is that then a problem?
Let's go on to Charlie. He's up next. He's on line seven. Again, if you're just joining us, playing for Kings of Leon tickets in the third row, the game is Famous Kings. Hi, Charlie.
Charlie.
Hey, how's it going?
Charlie, you're a teacher. You should know stuff. Here's your question. These were the ones who tried to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. These tried to put Humpty Dumpty back together again in the famous nursery rhyme.
No, I know the rhyme. I want to say Three Kings.
No, you'd be wrong to say that.
Although if the question was, what's a great George Clooney movie, then you'd win.
It's All the King's Horses and All the King's Men couldn't put Humpty together again.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Bye, Charlie. All right, one more contestant, and he is also a Ralph.
Yes.
Ralph, here's your question. This guitarist co-founded the band Slayer with Jeff Hanneman in 1981 and has been a member ever since. Legendary rock guitarist co-founded Slayer with Jeff Hanneman.
B.B. King.
Oh, B.B. King is a good guitarist, but Kerry King is what we were looking for. Kerry King.
All right.
Sorry, Rodney, you lose.
Indeed. Our listeners are funny.
They are funny.
All right, Dennis, Jamie, Marissa, Mike, all in the drawing. Only one wins tickets for Kings of Leon in the third row. Beer mug, who's our winner, please?
Line four, Marissa.
Marissa! Yeah! Marissa, way to go.
This is awesome. Thank you so much.
It is awesome. Not only will you enjoy the Kings of Leon show in Southern California, you're in the grand prize drawing to go see them in London. We'll do that drawing on Monday. Thanks. You hold on. Thank you for playing Famous Kings.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for playing in the Famous Kings.
Were you satisfied, by the way, Ralph, yesterday with the commissioner of the NBA coming out and with his decision on Donald Sterling?
Well, obviously, I would have enjoyed harsher penalties, but Silver did everything he could. I mean, he punished him to the fullest extent of his authority, and that's all you can ask in that situation. And we'll see what the owners decide. But it sounds
isn't it funny that that a $2.5 million fine to Donald Sterling, who's worth almost $2 billion, is like $100 to you and me?
Yeah, it's crazy.
But it doesn't hurt him.
We'll see if the owners can get together the three-quarter vote they need for the banning him from the league and forcing him to sell. But even here's the problem is, worst case scenario, he sells the team for what, $700 million?
Right.
That was what, a $30 million investment initially.
He bought it for $12 million.
Yeah. So he wins again.
He still wins. Yeah. He still wins.
That's the frustrating.
Well, I was thinking about Donald Sterling yesterday, as we have all been the last few days, because he was getting away with it. He was a dick, and everybody knew it. And he'd had some problems with the law. But until this tape came out, he was successfully able to keep his team, keep his advertisers, keep his sponsors, keep attracting quality talent to coach and play. He was getting away with it, except for the one bad choice that he made, which was to have this girlfriend, this V. Stiviano, have this girlfriend slash archivist who, according to Harvey, when we talked to him from TMZ this week, he knew she was recording him.
Yeah.
He knew it wasn't surreptitious. He knew that he was being recorded. That was the one bad choice he made.
Well, it's the legendary saying, pride goeth before a fall, right? I mean, this guy allowed his ego to get the better of him to think that what he was saying should be captured for posterity, that someone should be archiving the gold that comes out of his mouth. So he allowed himself to be recorded. And the minute you start buying into your own hype and you believe that you have some sort of special value, invariably, I think that will lead to a bad decision.
Yeah, well said. And the reason one bad choice was on my mind, and the reason we want to take calls from Kevin and Bean listeners who were humming along pretty well in their life until one decision that they made turned everything upside down. And you can think of a million ways that you can make one bad choice that will change the trajectory of your life forever. We want to take your calls on that at 1-800-520-1067. You kind of brought this to my attention because there's a new MTV show that's going to be debuting. It's shooting next month. It's going to be debuting this summer. All about one bad choice, right?
Yeah, that's the name of it, One Bad Choice, and it's going to be following people who, like you said, had a life that was going along swimmingly until they made one wrong turn, until they made a choice that affected the rest of their life forever. I mean, think back to the day when we hired Beer Mug, Bean. Remember that?
Perfect example. I mean, we had no idea.
What would our life have been like if we had just gone right instead of left at that opportunity? But no, we made one bad choice, and now we will be paying for it forever.
Yeah, we definitely are stuck. I mean, Beer Mug is our herpes. There's no question about that. We just, for whatever reason, we just couldn't resist that experience, and now we're stuck with it for life. He's just a scab. here's the casting call for One Bad Choice, again, as we take your calls at 1-800-520-1067 on the choice that you made that changed your life forever in a bad way. One bad choice. If you had the chance to go back and do it all over again, you would. One Bad Choice on MTV will reveal the personal stories of how a single mistake or a horrible decision can change the trajectory of a life forever. Each episode, 1 hour long, will introduce us to the narrator, who is inextricably linked to that moment in time forever. The sole person who made that sometimes fatal choice to do something perhaps illegal or ill-advised, and now they are paying the price.
One bad choice can spoil a whole life, girl. Is that the theme?
I am not sure if that's going to be the theme song, but this is going to be a new MTV show. They are currently casting for it, but we thought it might be fun to hear from you. What was the one bad choice you made? And don't bother calling and saying, turning on the Kevin DeBede show, because we already expect that one to be coming. 1-800-520-1067. Your call is coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show on Kick. One Bad Choice. That is the name of a new MTV show debuting this summer, where you look back on that one decision that you made. You went right instead of left, and you've never stopped thinking about it, because if you'd just gone the other direction instead, it would have worked out so much better for you.
You have made bad choices.
I remember when I decided to paint my house pink and put a clown's head on top of it.
That was
actually...
That was actually
a good choice. And then I just paid for that.
That was me. Actually,
I did that.
I'm the
guy with the pink house.
And then I was driving home from Burning Man one time, and there was a giant cow in front of me, and I just swerved.
That was Kevin. That was Kevin. Ended up in a ditch upside down in your car with a bad back. That was Kevin.
I haven't made any bad choices. You guys have made many.
Hey, you're on this show, aren't you?
Let's go to Samantha. She's on line one. She gets us going. Becker, please hang on. Randy, do not go away. We're going to get to both of you next at 1-800-520-1067.
Bad choices is the topic on the Kevin Devine Show, besides listening to this program. Samantha, what happened to you, my dear?
Well, it was 10 years ago, and I found out my husband was having an affair, and I caught him in his car with his girlfriend, and I rammed her car into the intersection. She called 911, and I ended up being in jail for 2 weeks. I had to pay a restitution of about $2,500 to fix her car, and I lost my job. I was administrative assistant to the CFO. I was making about $60,000 a year, and I lost everything. It was 10 years ago. So since then, everything's perfect. He's no longer in my life, and I've been single ever since. And yeah, so that was my bad choice. And I think about it every day.
This is a perfect example of what they'll be doing on the MTV show, because here you were just living your life, not getting in any kind of trouble, and you just snapped, and in 1 minute, everything changed for you.
Everything changed to me, because now the worst thing was that I had to pay her money to fix her car that I ran into the intersection.
So what happened? You were just caught up with the emotion. You were so furious, you just gunned it and just...
I didn't even know what I was doing. It was just like, it literally was like I was watching myself doing it, thinking, what am I doing? And I just did it. I just rammed her car.
Wow.
They pulled over to the side. She got out of the... Well, she didn't get out the car. He got out of the car, and he literally had to take off his shirt because I had such a, like a... hold on his shirt, and I wouldn't let it go because I wanted answers. I wanted to know why he was doing it, because it was like we were together for 10 years.
Such a reasonable, delicate young flower. Why would everyone to step outside that relationship?
Exactly,
so when you think back now, you picture yourself heading toward that intersection, you see them, and you just do what? You just drive on past and then just sue the pants off of them, right?
Yeah, I just drive away and think about my kid. Because at that moment, I think I was possibly the most selfish person in the world. Because I didn't think about anyone else. I didn't think about my kids. I didn't think about,
your job. Yeah, exactly.
But what I was feeling at that moment.
That was a learning experience for you. I'm glad you came through it on the other side. It sounds like you're doing a lot better now, Samantha. We really appreciate you calling, okay?
Thank you. Love you guys. Bye.
Thank you. Love you, too. How about that, Ralph?
That's a perfect example. Those moments where we're caught up with the emotion of the situation and you're just every fiber of your being is screaming out to do the wrong thing.
Yep.
It takes enormous self-control not to fall into that trap.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of being human is that struggle, that battle. Becker, thank you so much for calling the Kevin Devine Show this morning. What was your one bad choice, sir?
Hey, guys. My pleasure to call in. Brightchild here. I thought I'd supplement my income by stealing from my employer, so I was embezzling money out of the register on a daily basis. Yeah, pretty crazy stuff. So they caught on to it and just basically subsequently caught a case over it and went to the penitentiary for 3 years.
You did 3 years for this?
Yeah, 3 years for that. It was up north in the county up north where it's kind of, I call it cowboy justice. I mean, had something like that happened down here in L.A., it would have been all good, slap on the wrist, move on with life. But up there...
Yeah, there's no way you go to jail for embezzling money out of a cash register in Los Angeles.
And it was
no way.
Small amount. I mean, over a few months, and we're talking, a few thousand here and there. It was no big deal, but... Well, of course, it was a big deal. It was wrong to do, but
yeah. But usually, you just pay it back, and they give you probation or something.
You get probation, exactly. So but yeah, up there again, it was in Butte County, and it's like cowboy justice. I mean, the judges are wearing buckles around their belts.
So tell me about this, Becker, because I can't even imagine everything that was going through your mind. So you're sitting there in the state pen for 3 years.
Yeah, and I was young, man. I just turned 21.
But my question is, do you just relive that one bad choice just over and over? Like every day you wake up and go, F me, why did I do that?
Well, like your screener asked me, did it change my life? It honestly really didn't shape me up because I got in a whole boatload of trouble thereafter, too. So I didn't wise up. I was still an idiot afterwards.
So you're going to call back when we do our next game, 10 bad choices.
right. You're not kidding. But, I do. Of course, I think about it a lot. I talk to my wife about it a lot. I relate a lot of things that happened in my life. I'm like, oh, this happened there or should have been there when this happened. Of course, I talk about it all the time because
it was very impactful. So, of course, sure. I relate a lot of things in my life to that
do
now.
You think do you think the 3 years in prison put you on a bad course, Becker? Did it make things worse doing the time?
No, not really. I definitely found a lot of bad people in there. I associated with a lot of bad folks. And yeah. So, I had a lot of really, really bad connections, not any more than I had before going in, but... It didn't make me bitter or slighted, but it didn't reform me. It was kind of a joke, you know? I mean, it doesn't, they call it rehabilitation, but it's not. It's a joke. It's just a place that they cage you up, and that was that.
Mm. Our show is very popular with ex-cons, by the way. I don't know if you guys are aware of that, but thank you very much for the call, Becker. Glad glad you're doing all right. We appreciate it. Let's go to Randy. He's up next. He's on line four talking one bad choice on the Kevin and Bean Show, 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Randy. Thanks for calling, man.
How's it going, everybody?
Good. What's up?
So I was at a house party with some friends, and some guy thought I was just being stupid. I don't know why. I wasn't even drinking, put it that way. And he wanted to square up. I told him, nah, I wanted to become a police officer. Well, finally he said something really stupid to me, and screw this. Let's do this. I put my hands up. Got him pretty good and kept on going. He kept on standing up, and next thing you know, I did some pretty good damage, and he's in the hospital for a few days. Broken jaw, broken eye socket, broken arm.
Dude.
And he pressed charges when he came after me. So with that, I got a pretty nasty fighting record on my record, and there goes the police academy.
You couldn't try to be a police officer because of that fight?
Yeah, because it happened when all the police brutality was going on, so they saw that as a violent past, so that it caused a scene. It might bring the police department a bad name in the area that I was trying to go for.
Wow. Gotcha. Take me back to that moment at that fight, though. Like Ralph was talking about, everybody gets that mad sometime. In your mind, was it literally like, a good angel on one shoulder, bad angel on the other, where you were struggling with the decision of whether to throw a punch or not?
Oh, yeah, big time. I was walking out of the house, and that's when the guy just started shouting a bunch of things, and just a flip switch. I got hot, started sweating, and jacket came off, shirt came off, and fist started flying.
Oh, it's kind of hot, your jacket and shirt coming off. Yeah.
Yeah. Was this before or after the Raiders game? Do you remember?
Let me ask you, if you can, in the cleanest language possible, Randy, what was the thing that was the final straw? What could he possibly have said that would made you go over the edge?
Well, I was with my lady at the time, so things were said about her and about my mother, and come on, man, you don't mess with the mom.
Yeah, you don't mess with the mom. Come on. Maybe it wasn't a bad choice. Maybe you did the right thing after all. Stand up for yourself, Randy.
I'm now working minimum wage jobs, so I'm not too sure about that.
Well, we appreciate you listening. Appreciate you calling. Thanks so much, man. One of the all-time greats, one of our all-time favorite Kevin and Bean Show guests in studio now. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the Roastmaster General, the great Jeff Ross. Joins us.
Hey, Jeff. Kevin and Bean. How are
you,
buddy?
What's up? Kevin not included. What's up, brother?
Feeling good. Real good, man. Happy to be talking to you today.
It's good to see you. Jeff is in town at the Brea Improv for 5 big shows this weekend. Friday night, 2 shows at 8 and 10. Saturday night, 7 and 9. And then Sunday night at 7 o'clock. Tickets are just $25 at improv.com. Improv keeps their ticket prices low, I think, because you should draw more than $25, Jeff.
Come on. You know what? I keep my prices low because I want the masses. I want college kids and people that are, struggling a little bit to come out and get cheered up a little bit.
Well, we appreciate that. So you say you've been traveling. I mean, that's nothing new for a stand-up comedian. More than usual you've been on the road?
No,
it seems
actually,
like you've been gone
less,
a while.
Less than usual. I've been doing a couple weekends. I was in Seattle and Detroit, and I had to cancel a few. I just shot a pilot here in town for ABC, so I had to clear my schedule. Now I'm getting back on the road.
ABC would put your face on their network?
I couldn't believe it. I'm not even wearing like a Goofy mask or anything.
That's a little bit of a surprise. So it's a horror show then.
Hey.
What can you tell us about it?
It's called the Untitled Kevin Hart Project.
Oh, Kevin Hart.
It's a primetime sitcom.
He, by the way, we've had him on the show a couple times. He's intense. That guy is serious about what he does, and he wants to be the biggest star in the world, doesn't he?
He wants to be a comedic rock star. He is, actually.
I mean, he is. He's huge. He's one of the biggest names in comedy right now. But you can tell there are some guys that you see, and you see this in, you see this in athletes sometimes, but he has the intensity like a heavyweight boxer. He wants to go out there, and he wants to win every person over.
And it's working. So I follow that lead, man. He's, you know, it's so weird. When I started out, I remember going, how hard is show business? And then I got a job working for Billy Crystal for a few months, writing the Oscars, like 15 years ago. And I said, oh, my gosh, this guy works harder than me, and he's a big star.
Yeah.
It really does take that grind, as Kevin Hart says.
No, you're right. I mean, you know, our mutual friend, you know, Jimmy Kimmel, you know, you see him for an hour a night on TV and you think it's easy. He just goes out there and, you know, puts on a suit and tells some jokes, but he's already worked a 15-hour day before he gets to that point. I mean, it does take a tremendous amount of commitment to make it in show business.
And he also sleeps less than most people, which is just annoying.
I don't know how he does it.
It takes like a crane to get me out of bed just to come see friends like you, and they're...
Have you wanted to have a sitcom on TV? Has that been something you've been trying to do?
You know, it actually is something I haven't been trying to do. I did a pilot, you know, very early in my career as a sort of second banana kind of role. And it's something that just got trumped by the Roastmaster. I just liked being on stage doing my own material and ripping into people. And I still love that. But... Mm-hmm. I auditioned for one sitcom this year just because I thought it was a great part and a great role, and I got it.
Wow.
So I'm going to try something different. It's super fun because it's shot in front of a live audience. We're going to hear from ABC in the next couple of weeks.
That's
so
cool.
You know, it looks good. I would love to do it because I love Kev, and Romany Malco's in it too, and Brescia Webb, funny people. So
good for you. Hey, you've done all the late-night talk shows.
Mm-hmm.
What was your thought since the last time we had you in to see Letterman step down, Colbert step up, and now Ferguson step down? I mean, it's crazy all these changes that have been going on shows that we've been watching for years and years and years. You've done all those shows, know all those guys. What's your thoughts?
Well, I got my first break on Late Show with David Letterman in 1995, April 13th.
Not that you remember. Not that it was a significant date.
I remember it better than I remember anything, I think. I was... just flown in. I was in L.A. basically for the first time. I was still living in New York City doing comedy, and I came out here for my first couple of Hollywood meetings. And
so this was 19 years ago this month.
Can't even believe that.
And was Dave the first person to put you on national television?
I couldn't get on MTV. I couldn't get on the A&E's Comedy Hours. I couldn't get on any of that stuff. I was ready to, like, do a one-man show, which I was starting to write and perform. And I auditioned for Letterman for like the eighth or ninth time, said, screw it, I'll try it one more time. And somebody canceled. I believe it was George Clooney on a Thursday. Letterman had just gone to CBS. It was a huge, huge moment. I went by the Comedy Store, I think, and the Laugh Factory and the Improv, did my little five-minute sets, went right to LAX, caught a red eye, flew all night, woke up, had a suit that I had just bought for a wedding, happened to have a new suit, and went on Late Show. I remember, I'm spacing out right now, but the guy who does the stage manager, Biff Henderson, backstage. I was so nervous, I was shaking, and I go, I don't want to walk out there, I want to run. And I hear my intro, and I hear them playing, you know, Kiss, Rock and Roll All Night. And I go, can I run? I want to run. And Biff goes, you can do whatever the F you want. You're on.
So even though you were well prepared for it, was it still terrifying? Do you have butterflies in your stomach when you're doing that in front of David Letterman?
Yeah, because I was trying out the clean version of some of my jokes for the very, very first time. And the producer, Daniel Kellison, said it would be okay if I wanted to grab a woman's purse out of the front row. I wanted or a book bag from a guy, because I had a joke I used to do where I'd hang it over to my forehead around the back and say, here's my impression, waiting for the school bus in fifth grade or something. And no one really used props on that show, so I was kind of breaking that ground, and I did love poems at the end of my act, so I was pulling out a piece of paper. And
you've been doing love poems that long?
Yeah, that was the very early start of it. That was my first time. And I mean, it was just like the right jokes for the right audience. And I'd never performed being without a microphone in my hand. I had a lavalier microphone on my jacket. I wanted to.
How many times have you done Letterman since that first night, Jeff?
Just a couple.
Oh, really? That's
that
a surprise.
That was the break. That was an early break. The laughs were so big I didn't know what to do with my hands because I hadn't performed hands-free before. And I would do front snap kicks and karate punches in between the jokes. Because it was like nervous energy, and it became explosive.
How did you feel walking off that stage?
Just 10
like a,
feet
like
tall.
Like $1 billion, yeah.
And
yeah.
I remember seeing Paul Schaefering getting a handshake and getting a... Dave came over, and he basically... complimented me and plugged my gig, and I just said, thanks, man, thanks, man, thanks, man, thanks, man. That's all I said. I just didn't want... I quit while I was ahead, and it was a huge, huge moment because just everybody was watching the show. There was a lot less shows back then, and I was famous in my little community that night. We all went to the Comedy Cellar and watched it, and it was cool, man.
I know Dave hasn't been making the headlines in the last few years. It seems like his kind of comedy is much more old school. And now we live in the, you know, the Jimmy Fallon viral video ways and the stuff that Jimmy Kimmel does and whatnot. But, I mean, he's a giant of comedy. And I don't know anybody who didn't go through at least a phase of a few years where they were obsessed with David Letterman. I mean, he really did change the way we do and think of comedy in this country, didn't he?
He did. He informed so much of what we see now on television. And I remember being in college when he first broke on his first late night NBC show, and I just felt cool watching it. You know, obviously you're studying for finals or whatever, and you take a little break and you see stupid human tricks, and
because you felt like it was your show and not your parents' show. You know what I mean? Like when you grow up, you think Carson is old people comedy, and then Letterman was doing comedy for people our age, is what it felt like to me anyway. You know,
I think you're right.
Speaking to us, and how about Craig? Ferguson. Craig Ferguson. You have much experience with him?
Yeah, I've done his show a few times. Always,
I love him.
Great time.
By the way, he is so smart.
I'm gonna miss that show because he was a little different. So it'll be interesting to see what he does next. And
who would you give that show to?
He's a great guy. You know what? Somebody just this morning said, "Let's get Norm Macdonald Craig Ferguson slot." And I said, "Oh man, that would be great."
Yeah, I've heard a few names that have been thrown out there. I mean, Aisha Tyler is one that a lot of people seem to be talking about. I think
love that.
I love her too. I think that the Colbert look. Nobody could argue with the choice of Stephen Colbert to take over for Letterman. Everybody acknowledges he's great, but I think there is pressure right now, right or wrong, to not give it to another white dude. And it almost feels like this 12:30 CBS slot is where maybe they're finally going to do that. You know, I mean, you shouldn't hire somebody just because they're not a white male. I'm not saying that, but I feel like there's a drumbeat right now to make that happen on one of the major networks.
Interesting. I don't know. I think it should always go to the funniest person.
I do too.
The last the white guy who's so ready and dying for that, and then hear us saying that, you know, it would be crushing because comedy to me is, in a lot of ways, should be colorblind. It's just who the funniest person is. And I look at some of my favorite lady comedians or comedians of color, and I don't see them that way. I really do just see them for who they are. And the great comedians are so original, Bean, that I don't even see them the way most people would see them as their color or whatever.
Will you be the funniest person on stage at the Bray Improv this weekend?
I will. I can't wait because I haven't been down there in a while, and I love ripping into people. I'm going to be speed roasting volunteers from the audience. So if you're listening and you're anywhere near Brea and you're weird-looking, fat, handicapped, or pregnant, you have to come on stage at my shows this weekend.
Those are your people, Jeff. Friday night, two shows. Saturday night, two shows. And then the Sunday night cleanup show at 7. Tickets are just $25 to see the great Jeff Ross on stage. Improv.com, where you want to buy your tickets. We'll be right back more with Jeff in a moment on K-Rock. Our friend Jeff Ross in studio with us here on the Kevin Amin Show. He is the Roastmaster General bringing his act to Brea. He's going to be at the Improv for 5 big shows this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Tickets are just $25, available at improv.com. What was the last TV roast you did, Jeff? Seems like it's been a minute since we had one.
I guess it was James Franco's roast.
That's right. That's right.
Super fun one.
It was super fun. When can I pencil you in for the Donald Sterling roast? It seems like that one has to be next, right? Would anyone show up?
How would you make that happen? It's such a good idea. Maybe on the next Burn special, I'll get Donald Sterling to sit just with me.
Yes.
And
yes.
Do a one-on-one roast on a basketball court.
Has this been a crazy few days since that news broke on Saturday? Isn't it unbelievable all the stuff that's been going on?
You got to wonder what he's doing today. Is he getting a Band for Life tattoo across his stomach? Like, he's probably taking it as a badge of honor. He can never, ever go anywhere.
Yes. He's the most hated man in Los Angeles right now.
What black people, or most white people, he can't go to a restaurant. I think he might just shrivel up and disappear like Joe Paterno. Like, I don't know. It's a tricky one.
There are a lot of people who are his age who feel the way he feels. That's what's not being talked about, I think. There are a lot of people of that generation who were raised that blacks and whites are separate. I'm not excusing him in any way, shape, or form. I'm just saying anyone who thinks that he's a freak show and unusual because of the way he feels, you're living under a rock. He just happens to have been exposed because you heard him say it. That conversation is held privately hundreds of thousands of times across this country. But fortunately, those people are dying out, though, and younger people who don't give an F what color you are
right.
are the people who are taking over the country as it should be.
I saw him last night at Cracker Barrel. He was getting high fives everywhere.
Do you think, you can't rehabilitate your image, and he doesn't seem like the kind of guy who's even going to try, right? I mean, he's making no effort whatsoever to combat this.
It seems like he's not even trying to explain himself, and oh boy, he's going to have a long life living by himself, and who's going to talk to him? He'll have to go to Arkansas, and you're right, Mr. Sterling, we're big supporters of everything you say. I don't know what's going to happen to that guy.
I don't know what kind of actual friends he has. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of love among the other NBA owners, that's for sure. None of them are admitting to palling around with him. I mean, I wonder if he's 83 years old. I wonder if his only companionship are these 30-year-old girls that he gives cars to. Like, that's who brings him juice and talks to him late at night, you know?
They find him $4 million?
$2.5 million.
$2.5 million.
Which was the maximum the league had the authority to fine him, right? Which to him is nothing.
He spends that on his girlfriend's allowance on a Tuesday to buy her shoes. I mean, that's nothing for him.
Exactly. So,
what's going to happen to her, Bean? You got to get her in here with her stupid visor walking around the Grove like Daft Punk.
Did you see those?
What is wrong? How does that happen to people that there's such an attention?
I don't know. I don't know. And I mean, they're going to try to force him to sell the team, obviously, but even that's going to make him hundreds of, millions of dollars. I mean, it's almost like this guy can't lose. It's almost like if you're that rich and you don't care about being popular, you can't lose. You know, he's going to be
like
fine.
He looks like a penis that came out of a cold shower. He does not look good, that guy. I don't know. I don't know. The little piece of me feels sorry for this old, sad, stupid, probably slightly lost guy who's probably going to realize what he did, feel bad for the rest of his life, and never have a friend.
I don't know. You know, Ralph brought up a great point earlier. Why, if you're saying these things and you're allowing them to be recorded, because that's what we're understanding now, is that he knew he was being recorded. This was not surreptitious recording. He was treating this woman as some sort of an archivist or something like that. One version of the story is that she was taping things because he was having trouble now starting to forget things that he said and did, and he wanted a record of it and stuff. What's going on in your head where you say those things knowing you're going to be on tape? Do you just feel so invincible that you don't think it can hurt you?
Oh, my God. He just probably – rich people have a real sense of entitlement, and he just probably assumed this girl was on the payroll and she's my property. And that is it.
Yeah.
He's a billionaire. We can't even relate to that sense of comfort.
I will never be in a situation where my wife is suing my girlfriend. Those are just not the kinds of problems that I have. That's
what about
sure.
that wife? Jeez, she says she's been with him forever. She's probably the
like
same
50
way.
Years or something like that. And it's weird. They have the weirdest relationship because they are still, as I understand it, Muggs, you may have heard more about this than I have, but they are legally married but separated, right? And they have been forever.
I asked Larry King. I bumped into Larry King, who knows Sterling, and he said, "Oh, I'm not surprised. It's been like that forever." Yeah. So these things emerge and happen for a reason, and it just took a longer time than anybody thought. And Donald Sterling, roast in peace. Last time we're ever going to hear from that guy.
Is it tough? Is the situation? Is it so crazy that it's tough to poke? It's tough to make comedy about.
No, because this guy's getting his thing. He's done. So I think it's okay. And who's going to buy that team? That's the real question. If Magic should buy that team.
Well, Frankie Muniz is one of the names that's being thrown around today.
Really?
Well, remember when he couldn't afford to buy the whole thing, but he's got $40 million in the bank or something like that. It would be a good start. Floyd Mayweather Jr. is another name that's being tossed around.
Wow.
People People keep asking Magic Johnson, who says he's not interested. Someone asked Oprah the other day if she would buy it. She's not interested. So I don't know. I mean, look, the Clippers would be a good investment. It'd be a good team to own right now.
What did we learn this week? We learned that you can't judge people by the color of their skin unless they're very tan.
Yes. Exactly.
He is a little shriveled up Yoda nothing. It's gone.
Jeff Ross at the Bray Improv. 5 shows this weekend. 2 shows Friday night. 2 shows Saturday night. 1 show on Sunday night. $25. Tickets available through improv.com. How many people end up on stage with you at a show, Jeff?
That's a great question. Sometimes it could be as little as 4 or 5, but... You know, sometimes on a Saturday night when you're liquored up, I might have 20 people up there. It gets very punk rock.
And you never are in front of an audience that there's not somebody you can make fun of.
Oh, they're human beings and they're breathing and they're looking at me and they're ready for it. It's amazing.
Do people panic when they go up there, like just freeze? Because I see you try to talk to people sometimes, and I just feel they're deer in the headlights.
You know what it is, Bean? It'll be when I say something. A lot of times a woman will come out on stage for attention. She'll be wearing a revealing top or something, and she'll be like, oh, he's going to make fun of my boobs, blah, blah, blah. And then I don't. I make fun of her teeth or her hair, and that's it. I get slapped. And that's very entertaining for me to get slapped.
Very entertaining for the audience as well. All right, well, it's been a while since we've had a chance to see the great Jeff Ross locally. Get your tickets through improv.com, just $25, and you'll know what, within a couple of weeks, whether the ABC show is going to happen or not?
Yeah, we'll know about that. We're going to be doing a The Burn Comedy Central special soon, and things are going good, and I appreciate friends like you helping me get the word out.
Great to see you, Jeff. Thanks for coming in, buddy.
Thanks, Bean.
How about a brand new Bean's Death Corner?
Hey, everybody, gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I
love death.
You're with me on the death, Ralph. Death is awesome.
No, I'm the opposite of your position. I believe life is infinitely more awesome than death.
Well, let's see if I can turn you around by taking a look at the stories in today's Bean's Death Corner. Police say they believe a woman in North Carolina was posting to Facebook just seconds before she was killed in a fatal car crash. By the way, anyone who's on the roads anywhere in this country, it's almost impossible to find a car that doesn't have somebody using his phone while they're driving, right?
Yes, those people should die.
Well, this one did die.
Oh, good.
Crash happened in High Point, North Carolina on Thursday morning. A 32-year-old, Courtney Ann Sanford, got in a head-on collision when she crossed the median and crashed into a truck. Her car went off the road and caught fire. The truck in the crash ran off the road and hit a tree, by the way. But fortunately, the truck driver was not injured, just the woman who was Facebooking. She posted at 8:33 a.m. The wreck happened at 8:34 a.m., by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Investigators say the Facebook post said, "The happy song makes me happy."
Yay! So she's just buzzing down the road listening to Pharrell.
And yep.
She felt she had to put that on Facebook.
Yes.
Rather than pay attention to her drive.
It was discovered that she had also posted photos as she drove down the roadway.
Son
Pharrell
of a bitch.
Killed a woman. That's
Son
what
of a
happened.
Bitch. Good for him. Give him another hat. That is Darwinism in progress.
All the popes were in the news a few days ago. I guess it was Sunday. I'm sure you saw the ex-pope, the Nazi pope, Pope Benedict, came out of retirement. And Pope Francis was there. And they were canonizing two previous popes. I think it was Paul the 23rd and John Paul II. They both became saints.
Yeah.
So there's been a lot of celebration around the world, particularly in places like Italy, where John Paul II is from, about him becoming a saint. A giant statue had been put up in the town of Sivo. It weighed over 1,320 pounds. Unfortunately, at a ceremony for the statue, it collapsed, landed on, and killed a man.
Oh, come on, Pope.
Where's your Messiah now?
Come on, Popey. That's no way to roll.
What do you say about God now if a statue of John Paul II falls off its perch into a crowd and kills someone? Is that God's will?
And if he needed a miracle ever, that would have been the time to pull one out of your ass, you know, Popey? You know, to bring that guy back to life after they pulled the statue over. Then, you deserve the sainthood.
Exactly. The statue needs to jump back up and go, my bad.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all good now. Here's a crazy story. The death itself happened on October 28th, 2012, but it is back in the news now. On a dark road in Canada, just outside Toronto, three bicyclists, teenage bicyclists, 16 and 17-year-olds, were in the road. A woman was speeding and on her cell phone and hit the bicyclist, killing one of the children. A 17-year-old named Brandon Majewski was killed. What's happening now that brings this story back in the news? The woman who hit and killed the bicyclist is suing his family because the accident, Ralph, caused her great pain and suffering.
Oh, did it now?
It did now.
Because she's suffering because she killed somebody, but it's their
yes.
fault.
She was speeding. She was on a phone, but she also claims that they were incompetent bicyclists and they should have been paying more attention and not been in the road.
Oh,
so
man.
She is suing the family of the teenager that she killed for great pain and suffering. She's looking for $900,000 in damages. The attorney for the family, by the way, says in all of his years as a lawyer, he's never, ever seen anyone sue a child that they killed. It's beyond the pale. I can't imagine she's going to have much success with that lawsuit. It's hard to be sympathetic in that situation to her and not the family,
if
right?
If she loses the case, the family should get 20 minutes with her and a ball peen hammer.
I think that's
what
reasonable.
They should get. Just give me a room, lock the door, and let me just go at her with a tack hammer.
Hey, well, we're living in Ralph Graham Frontier Justice. Things are going to be a whole lot different in this country.
A lot less sloppy lawsuits, that's for sure.
And finally, and it pains me to have to do this in Death Quarter because I would have loved to have saved it for What's Up with Florida because it's two of our favorite things that are coming together. And this is another one that ended up in court. Apparently, a woman in Florida had something strange leaking down the walls of her house.
Mm.
It turned out that the deceased elderly woman upstairs, who had passed away from natural causes and lived alone with her dogs, her body went undiscovered for several weeks.
No.
A noxious odor began to fill the adjacent units. Neighbors complained. Maintenance workers entered the apartment, found that the dogs had eaten her remains. That's just normal business for Florida. But the undiscovered body went through its normal decaying process and eventually bloated to the point that the gases inside the corpse build off enough pressure that it caused the abdomen to burst. The released gases and fluids is what leaked down into the woman's apartment.
No!
Come on, Bean!
Her name is Judy Rodrigo. The reason it is in the news today is because she sued State Farm, her insurer, as she was looking for reimbursement for repairs to clean up the goop that flowed into her unit. She gutted her apartment. Even then, afterwards, she claimed the odor lingered. The decision has been rendered, and State Farm is not on the hook. They do not have to pay because her apartment was covered for explosions and explosion, it was ruled in court, does not include a decomposing body's cells explosively expanding, causing a leakage of bodily fluids. That's not the kind of explosion that State Farm says that they are on the hook for if it happens in your apartment.
Yeah. Move. don't try to fix the smelly, goopy, dead body apartment. Just move.
And if we can offer some further advice, when you move, go ahead and get a unit on the top floor. Yeah, that's what you ought to do. And that's today's all-new Bean's Death Corner.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
Another email from a grateful Kevin and Bean listener. Marie writes in. Thanks for the lovely breakfast story about a woman's intestines bloating,
yes,
bursting, and running down the walls.
Yes.
Yum.
Right, exactly.
Who's hungry?
Have you no filter, no sense of propriety whatsoever?
Dude, I don't write the news, okay? I'm just reporting it. That's all. Don't blame the messenger here. It's Bean's Death Corner. How can I not talk about death?
You don't have to talk about the goop running down walls. You can draw the line somewhere, can't you?
It happened. It happened in Florida.
I know.
What about the great Maury Povich joining us right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock?
Maury!
A legend!
That's a different show. Never mind.
Very excited to talk to him. First, though, Ruff's got the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday. What's happening?
I want to let everybody know who's planning on coming out to see a Hollywood Babylon show this Friday night. We have changed the time to 8 p.m. to accommodate some folks who asked for an earlier show so they can do a dinner and a show kind of thing with their significant others. So we're doing a special 8 o'clock show this Friday at the Improv in Hollywood on Melrose.
No.
Yes, Lisa, go to improv.com to get your tickets for our special 8 o'clock Hollywood.
No, show. No, and no.
Kevin Smith.
Hey, happy birthday, Bugs Bunny. It's Bugs Bunny's birthday.
Okay, tell me more.
The very first Bugs Bunny film was released on this date in 1938.
Wow.
That can't be possible, can it? It's been around since the 30s.
I guess it is.
That's nuts.
76 years?
That's a crazy rabbit. He's a nutty rabbit.
sure
speaking
is.
Of which, I want you to check out the video that's on YouTube. We haven't really had a chance to talk about this much, but it is me and Seth Green and Nick Kroll and a bunch of other very funny people doing a live staged reading of the classic motion picture Space Jam. Our good friend Jensen Karp and the people at UCB put together an evening where we took the script to Space Jam starring Michael Jordan and all the Looney Tunes, and we read it out loud on stage. But instead of Michael Jordan, we had the spectacular Blake Griffin as the lead in the show. And it's a very, very funny evening, and I believe most of it now you can find on the Internet and go to YouTube, or Funny or Die's got a 10-minute selection of it. Anyway, it's funny stuff, and Bugs Bunny is done by Seth Green in a way you've never heard Bugs Bunny before, because he sounds like Snoop Dogg, but it's very entertaining.
How much was cut out of the movie, or was everything kept in?
No, everything was kept in. We kept
What kind of element that maybe the audience won't expect will happen in the movie? Can you give that away?
I don't even know what that question is.
No one does.
Of course, when you think of Blake Griffin, you think of the Clippers. When you think of the Clippers, you think of the spectacular Donald Sterling. Sad news for Donald. It's bad enough that he got banned from the NBA for life. But now, just released today, Dennis Hoff, owner of the legendary Bunny Ranch brothel, has banned Donald Sterling for life from the Bunny Ranch.
The Blash!
No sex at the Bunny Ranch. Dennis tweeted, I do this in support of my NBA player clients. Love the NBA. So in order to keep the players happy, he has banned Donald Sterling from going to the Bunny Ranch and getting the half and half or the Texas Twister or whatever they got on special that week.
That seems rather opportunistic of Mr. Hoff, because there's no indication that Donald Sterling was going to the Bunny Ranch, right?
How dare you? I think he's doing the right thing, following his conscience. And you accuse this man of just pandering, a blatant publicity stunt?
Yes, I do.
I'm offended on his behalf, sir. I also want to let you know that Donald Sterling has been banned from Hollywood Babylon at the Improv on Melrose. We will not allow him in this Friday night at 8 p.m. We've taken a firm stand on this.
So if he shows up, he's turned away at the door.
He's not welcome. Don Sterling, you are not welcome at Hollywood Babylon at the Improv on Melrose at 8 p.m. this Friday at improv.com to get your tickets. You can't go to get your tickets there, Donald Sterling. That's what I'm saying. See?
I can't believe they fell for that.
You got to take a stand. And sadly, Bob Hoskins, dead at the age of 71. Another actor who worked with Bugs Bunny. Of course, he was brilliant in the classic hit film Who Framed Roger Rabbit, but also did a bunch of serious and dramatic roles, like in Mona Lisa and The Long Good Friday. He was funny in Peter Pan in Hook, with Steven Spielberg directing as the pirate Smee. Did so many different kinds of films, and all of them brilliantly. Passed away at the age of 71 after a bout of pneumonia this weekend. So, sad news. Actually, it happened yesterday, not this weekend at all. Today's celebrity birthdays. Willie Nelson is 81 years old. Adrian Pasdar turns 49. Johnny Galecki from Big Bang Theory is 39. Kunal Nayar, his co-star from that popular TV show, is 33. Kirsten Dunst is 32. People asking for the bell for Kirsten Dunst, by the way. You better check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Seriously.
What's up?
I mean, they did the best they could with her in that first Spider-Man movie, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that was what they used all of the Hollywood trickery to make her look as palatable
still,
as possible.
They just made her acceptable.
Right.
Yeah. Spider-Man had to kiss her upside down. Couldn't bear to look at her. Straight,
exactly.
Straight-faced. She's 32 years old today. Gal Gadot from, soon to be from, Superman vs. Batman as Wonder Woman in that film. She's 29 years old. And the lovely and talented Diana Agron from Glee. Quinn on that show. Is she walking yet, or is she still paralyzed, or what's going on? What's going on with Glee?
I don't know. I lost.
Hey, Dave, is Quinn walking on Glee?
She's not even on the show anymore.
Ah, so I'm guessing the answer is no. She's 28 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Everything else today was just a warm-up for this moment, Ralph. This is the one.
This is it?
This is the showbiz beat that it's going to be for all time. Uh-oh. This is the one that's going to the Library of Congress.
Pressure.
No pressure.
On.
Make it good.
Well, first we have to pay tribute to the late, great
character actor, Mr. Bob Hoskins. Just a brilliantly talented British actor who had a really varied career. Did everything from serious, heavy dramas like Mona Lisa to The Long Good Friday, all the way through such fun fare as Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Hook. He played Smee the Pirate in Spielberg's version of Peter Pan in 1991. Of course, his amazing turn as Ginger Spice in Spice World. Come on, let's face it. The guy did it all.
Excuse me? He was Ginger Spice?
He impersonated her in Spice World.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't remember that.
Passed away after a bout with pneumonia at the age of 71. He announced in 2012 that he was retiring from acting due to the fact that he had been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. So a sad end to a spectacular career.
He's super dead.
Oh, you have just no heart. Star Wars!
Nothing but Star Wars!
Disney and Lucasfilm yesterday released a picture of the cast of Star Wars number 7 doing a table read. It includes newcomers like John Boyega, Daisy Ridley, Adam Driver, Oscar Isaac, Andy Serkis, who I had the great pleasure of hanging out with at WonderCon. He's in the new Planet of the Apes film, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Domhnall Gleeson, Max von Sydow, along with all of our favorites are coming back. Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, Mark Hamill, Anthony Daniels, Peter Mayhew, and Kenny Baker.
Ryan Seacrest
not reprising his role from the original.
Cal Worthington and his dog Spot.
Cal actually will be in number 7, reprising his role.
One of television's most dynamic and commanding stars, Jack Lord.
No, Jack Lord won't be in it.
I'm Mayor Rob Ford.
Stop it. Rob Ford will not be participating.
Hey, it's Stryker from the world-famous K-Rock at Mike Thompson RV.
Yes, Stryker will be in it, oddly enough.
Mr. Richie Ramone.
Yes, Richard Ramone is doing the soundtrack.
Vampire Weekend.
Also will be on the soundtrack.
Orson Bean.
I got as many as you need. How much time do we have?
Actually, John Williams is returning to do the score. Isn't that good news? He's got to be.
Of course it's great news.
He's got to be 100, right? But he's still going to be cranking out the music for that film. So it is encouraging news for Star Wars fans. How badly did Mr. Peabody and Sherman do at the box office? Well, badly enough for DreamWorks to take a $57 million write-off for the film.
Really? I thought that hung around the top 10 for a few weeks. It still didn't make enough money?
Well, this is an example of Hollywood finances at work. The film did cost $145 million to make. It did make $261 million at the box office worldwide. So,
well, that sounds like a win.
It earned more than it cost to make. However, okay, it failed to reach DreamWorks projections, and so due to some fancy Hollywood accounting, they get to count that as a write-off against their first quarter earnings. And that was announced by CEO Jeffrey Katzenberg yesterday. So I guess if a movie doesn't make, and after advertising and everything else is said and done and distribution, I've heard a movie has to make like a 3-to-1 margin in order to be truly profitable. So just making it was less than $100 million. Didn't get the job done.
There's something wrong with the way that system is set up then, if you can put a movie out that makes $100 million more than it costs to make and you still lose money on it.
But that's just the budget to make the actual film itself. There's a lot of
additional revenue streams that are still to come in for that film, including, I'm sure, because it's a kids movie, a pretty healthy DVD and streaming revenue, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Still got money to be made. I'm just very surprised by that.
Take it up with Katzenberg, man. You got a problem?
Okay.
Take it up with him.
Right.
And this is sad news. The One Direction concert in South America was a nightmare. Boy bands.
Well, because they showed up and performed?
Showed up and sang. No, there are only two shows into their tour there in South America, and Sky News is reporting that 50 children had to be treated for asphyxia at the Sunday night concert in Lima, Peru. Here's the problem. Fans were pushing, as sometimes they do, pushing close to the barriers to get close to the stage, and the kids caught between the crowd and the barriers were crushed. Many of the kids ages 12 to 15 were stepped on and pushed so hard into barriers or other people that they could not breathe.
Oh my God, it's One Direction. Oh my God, oh my God, I'm peeing in my pants. I am getting all over myself. It is One Direction.
There's one of the fans there. He was pushed into a barrier so hard he was peeing on himself.
Hundreds of fans had to be moved away from the stage and the balcony areas for safety. The guys in the band tried to stop the show and get the crowd from pushing and move back, but it did not work. Liam Payne actually said at one point during the concert, if they didn't stop pushing, the concert would end. Tents had to be set up to treat the injured children. It was just...
That's terrifying.
It was just a terrifying nightmare. So, once again, proving that boy bands are evil.
Hey, One Direction! What do you guys put in your hair?
What do you guys put in your hair?
That sounds to me like he was offering.
Yeah. Hey, Friday, what are you doing? What are you doing at 8 o'clock on Friday? Well, come see me and Kevin Smith do Hollywood Babylon.
No.
We're doing a special early evening show. Some folks requested an 8 o'clock show. And so we're doing it this Friday at the Improv on Melrose. You can go to improv.com to get your tickets. Come out and see us. We have a good time.
No, ma'am.
We'll be talking about celebrity birthdays.
Nine.
Willie Nelson's 81 years old today. Adrian Pasdar is 49.
I see what you did there.
You haven't got nine for me now?
Oh, you want it again? Sure.
Nine.
There we go. Johnny Galecki of the Big Bang Theory is 39.
Nine.
They are his co-star of the...
You know you're co-starring with Hitler right now on this report. 30. You understand that, right? You guys are co-hosting here.
I feel that way quite often when I do this show, actually. Kunal Nayar from the Big Bang Theory also is 33 years old. Kirsten Dunst is 32. Diana Agron of Glee is 28. And Gal Gadot, who will play Wonder Woman in the upcoming Batman vs. Superman, is 29 years old today.
Nine!
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Says you.
Yeah. All right, tomorrow morning, I don't often recommend you come back and listen to the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow, I think it's going to be worth it for one reason and one reason only, because we have a woman on, Ralph, who is one of the finalists for the one-way trip to Mars.
No way.
Yes.
Can we talk her out of it?
Can we talk her into bringing her good friend Bean with her, is what you mean.
Yeah, actually, that is what I mean.
If it works out, she is going to be getting on that rocket ship and heading for a one-way trip to Mars where she will live the rest of her life. How many questions do you have for this woman, by the way? Sue-Ann Peen is going to be joining. I'm very excited.
Sue-Ann Peen?
That's her name, I think. Maybe it's Peen. I'm not sure. We haven't spoken with her yet. But
I hope it's
anyway,
Peen.
That's tomorrow. Also, actor Shai McBride is going to be on the program with us tomorrow. He is terrific in everything.
Yes.
Dr. Drew with his weekly visit.
Not a real doctor.
On the program tomorrow.
Not a real doctor.
And beer mug just for you, our friend Lee from the Traffic Defenders is going to be joining us.
Oh, good.
I was going with the flow. They just pulled me over for no reason.
Mug's got, I think, a pretty unusual traffic ticket on his way into work today where he got a speeding ticket but not on radar. It was an approximate speed ticket from a police officer.
Yeah. Well, if the officer is going a certain speed – and he sees you're going faster than he is, he can pretty much guess what your speed is.
Yeah, but I didn't pass him. That's the thing. He was coming from behind, and a listener emailed me that he told me that the technical term is called pacing.
Well,
that would make sense.
Yeah,
I hope you.
So, in other
words,
he drove along at a reasonable rate of speed and saw how much further ahead of him you got.
Look at that ass. If you're putting distance between him and the car, he can tell you're going faster than he is, Beer Monkey.
Yeah, but I was going with the flow, man.
Oh, there's the defense. I can't wait for this courtroom hearing.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing what Mr. Rittenberg has to say. That's all tomorrow morning, plus more Kings of Leon tickets, this time in the second row. We'll see you tomorrow here on K-Rock.